And the message is called Sink or Swim. Sink or Swim. Has Sophia learned to swim yet? So did she sink when she first got in the pool the first time? That's rough. So in other words, the first time in the water, you sink. But then somewhere along the line, you learn to swim. And so, and it doesn't take a whole lot. She probably learned it pretty quick, right? So and that's cool. And I feel like here's the word that I really feel like God has for our church and also maybe for you. God says to you, it is time to navigate the waters of our current situation. We're going to navigate the waters. We are not going to sink, but we're going to swim or walk. I'll take either one. I love both swimming and walking. But we're going to look at some stories in the scriptures that talk about how God stopped the sinking. And I believe that God's going to show us how to navigate through the waters that we're dealing with, because these are some different waters. Amen? So we have, the Bible says in Timothy that we have power, love, and sound navigation system. The Bible says a good sound mind. But really, if you think about it, if you have a good navigation system, then you know where you're going. I mean, we've got them in our cars now, where if your navigation, I'll never forget, one of the first times we started using a navigation system back in the day, we took a trip to San Francisco. This was in 2009. And so we were trying out the navigation system, and we were trying to go somewhere in San Francisco. And Marianne could attest to this. You can ask her. But we ended up on the dock somewhere. We had put ourselves in for a restaurant or something nice, touristy. But we were like going, well, this is kind of funny turn here. Once is the turn here, once is the turn here. Next thing you know, we're like at the dock for some old nasty-looking rusty ship there. You know, we're like, oh, I guess the navigation system isn't what it is supposed to be. But God says it's time to navigate the waters and not sink. So you're going to turn your Bibles, we're going to do two scriptures that are about the same exact thing. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, is John the Baptist. And he's by the river. So we know we're going to have to deal with navigation because we're dealing with being by the river. And John is by the Jordan River. And that was his place to preach. John's location for preaching was the Jordan. And while he was down there at the Jordan baptizing people, the Pharisees showed up. This is Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. The Pharisees, he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism. And he said to them, you brood of vipers, poisonous snakes. Boo, yeah. So, I mean, he was a great preacher, wasn't he? Somebody wanted to come get baptized, and what did he tell them? Snakes. I don't know if he'd make it like a pastor around here, like, snakes, what are you doing here? That was a really, that was a seeker-friendly message. You copperheads, you water moccasins, what are you doing here? Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Now, that can almost be another my message title for this message, but I really feel like it's sink or swim here. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, you may think, well, I'm not a Pharisee, right? I'm not a Sadducee. I'm not a Pharisee. I don't wear those big robes. I don't think I'm on. Well, wait a second. Let's turn to Luke chapter 3, verse 7. So we got Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, and Luke chapter 3, verse 7. I think Luke wrote this very same story to make sure you thought you were not in that group of people. Because I'm like I didn't think I was a Pharisee before I met Jesus. I just thought I was a regular guy. But here's what John said, and Luke put it this way. When he saw the crowds coming. So when John started getting really popular, he got the opposite of seeker friendly. The more the crowds came, the more the brood of vipers' message started coming. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized in him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. The same exact words was said to the Pharisees. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up kids for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that doesn't bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So, this word today is for Pharisees. I say don't honk if you're a Pharisee. Or the crowds. Either one. You still have to deal with the axe of God coming against you. Not ACTS, but the AXE of God. John wielded the axe. Now, what is a serpent? What's a poisonous viper do? It kills by its mouth through a bite with an invisible poison, something you can't see, that is transmitted through the mouth. And we could say that our words can be poisonous. How many of you have heard some poisonous words spoken to you? And maybe words you've said yourself that really didn't bring healing, but it actually made someone sicker. And God wants to create in our lives a fruit-based lifestyle. He wants us to walk like a fruit person, not like a snake person. You know, the snake was very subtle, very clever, lived by his wits, right? A snake has to because he has no arms or legs. He can't punch you. He can't, you know, he has to slither. So he's got to live by his wits and by his deception. But we live by our fruit. God wants us to have a fruit-based life. So what's a fruit-based life? One based on love and faith, hope, mercy, fruit of the Spirit, kindness, gentleness, a fruit-based life. John the Baptist was willing to wield the axe at the Jordan River. And you can almost look at the Jordan River like a revival. We take rivers for granted. We've got some great rivers in Martinsville. We got the Smith River, the Dan River. I think the Dan comes in here, maybe not. But it's in this area. The Mayo is one of the rivers. But the river just flows. It's a part of our life. And you can almost look at your church life as the river. There are churches called the river. We need to learn how to wield the axe at the river. Now, I want to share something. One way that I think Christians can end up missing that fruit-based life and end up getting into something different. So I'm trying to say, what can we do to avoid the axe, right? What can we do to live a fruit-based life? Well, that one word that John said is he said, don't presume. Don't presume. You know, presumption and privilege is one of the, was actually what John was trying to talk to them. He said, what do you say to them? He said, don't say, well, I'm the child of Abraham. I'm the child of Abraham, right? We have Abraham as our father. We're of that lineage. So what does that translate to an American Christian or a modern day Christian? How would you say that today? Okay. How would you say that today? Well, I know who I am. Ooh, Has anybody ever said that? Oh, I know who I am. It doesn't matter what I do. It's just who I am. But isn't that what John is saying here? In other words, if I, as a preacher, preach to you identity all the time, and I don't preach to you character, am I leading you down the path of presumption and not fruit? So I believe, now just think about it. Now you don't have to say amen. Think about it though. If all I talk about is identity, and all I talk about is who you are, but we don't talk about and have those little heart-to-heart talks about things that we do that don't bless God, maybe I've lost my axe head. Maybe you need to hear this. Maybe we need to hear some things that aren't always about our identity. See, presumption was the very sin that Jesus was tempted with by the devil in the wilderness. Right? What did he say? If you are the Son of God. What was he doing? He's saying, your identity is Son of God. Therefore, you could do whatever you want, boy. Right? Am I saying it? He had an identity-based message. And what did he try to do with that identity-based message? Cause him to miss God's will for his life. So what did Jesus say? He didn't turn the stones into bread, right? Because he knew that God could turn stones into sons of Abraham. Now, I'm going to talk to you more about what that means. He didn't jump off the pinnacle of the temple. He replied with the word of God. He only answered the temptations by the word, but the devil used the word as well. So we have to learn to use, to wield the sword of the spirit, not the sword of the flesh. If the flesh takes the word of God, it will not do a good thing. But God wants us to learn that the Holy Spirit is the one who wields the sword of the word. So we take up that sword because the Holy Spirit is in us, taking it up through us. Amen? So I just want to encourage you in this way. It's kind of quiet out there. No, I'm just I can hear the crickets. The birds are pretty too, though. Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. And Jesus also said that if there's no fruit, let's go ahead and curse that tree. So God says we don't want bad fruit and we don't want zero fruit. We have to be a fruit-bearing person if we are going to enter the kingdom of heaven. So when Jesus saw the fig tree and it only had leaves, it was done. He wielded the axe to the fig tree, but it wasn't a physical axe. It was a spiritual axe. Now, what is God's antidote to privilege and presumption? How do I avoid being so identity focused that I take things for granted? How do I do that, Pastor John? Glad you asked me that question. Here's my question back to you. Do you have faith that God can turn a stone into a son of Abraham? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can take anybody and get him saved? Can you believe that it doesn't have to be the privileged few? Can you believe? You hear what I'm saying? Do you believe that God can take anyone? See, if you have an attitude that somehow you're so special that only you can do it and you just pity those poor little worthless souls out there, you know what I'm saying? That arrogance and that pride will keep you from the kingdom of God. But God says he wants us to have faith that God can take that stone wall and turn them into a crowd of folks. If he wants to, he'll do it. So don't act like you're so special that God can't get along without you. I'm sorry. God can do without me. That's why I love him. That's why I know he loves me. I am never going to take his love for granted, ever. And that's my heart's cry. Lord, this scripture causes me to cry out, God, I do not ever want to take your love for granted or my identity for presumption. This is important now. Tell me if you agree. God forgave your sins. He did not ignore your sins. Do you see the difference? It's one thing when somebody just puts up with your foolishness. How many of you know if you're a classroom teacher, Jan, wave at me. You know you wouldn't be a teacher very long if that's all you did, right? Just ignored people's foolishness. You'd have chaos. No, God forgives your sins and he forgets your sins, but he never forgot the sacrifice Jesus made for your sins. God will never forget the price that his son paid so that he could forget your sins. And we should never forget the sacrifice that Jesus made so that my sins could be forgiven. If you forget his sacrifice, you will take him for granted. So if you want God to forget your sins, don't forget what he did for you. Amen? Woo! Glory to God. Remember, God forgives our sins and he cleanses us, 1 John, from all unrighteousness. So it's not just, okay, we're just not going to pay attention to that awful behavior you're doing. Oh no. He forgives it, but then he's going to cleanse you. And he did that for Peter and the apostles when he washed their feet. So the cross is God's forgiveness. The empty tomb is like baptism, and the upper room is like Pentecost. We need all three. God, Jesus said on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. That's what he said on the cross. And he said, it is finished. He had seven last words. But what does baptism, why is baptism so important for a Christian? Because the scripture says, he who is dead can no longer sin. If you're dead, you're not sinning anymore. And dead people don't sin. Just tell your neighbor that. Dead people don't sin. They don't. That's why the tomb is like baptism, because what have you done? You were put under the ground. And you stop sinning at that point. God's forgiven your sins, you get in the ground, and then he gets you out of the tomb, and you encounter Jesus. And you are equipped, and then you're sent to do his will. Now, we're going to close with a story in the Old Testament. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. 2 Kings verse 6, chapter 6, verse 1. And it's a story about the axe head. So I just want you to know, John wasn't the first to talk about an axe. He didn't have an axe to grind. Maybe he did. I don't know. Anyway. All right. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with is too straight, too tight. Let us go, we pray, into Jordan and take there every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And Elisha said, okay, I will go with you. So he went, and when we went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, hey, Jordan River, what are we thinking of? John the Baptist. Jordan River is chilly and cold. Chills the body, but not the soul. So we're talking about a very similar thing. So let's pay attention. Let's tie these two passages together in our heads. So he went with them. When they were cutting down wood. So they were using an axe to cut down wood at the Jordan River. John was talking about an axe at the Jordan River. Here we go. But as one was felling a beam for the building, the axe head fell into the water and he cried, "Alas, master, it was borrowed." And the man of God said, "Where does it fall?" And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and put it in the water, and the iron did swim. There's the navigation. The navigation. "Therefore," he said, "take it up to thee," and he put it out of his hand and took it. You see, it takes the miracle word of the Lord and the power of God in order to navigate the Jordan River and to navigate the waters, because we all know a block of iron doesn't swim. A block of iron doesn't swim. And one more story. Well, two more. Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the whale. And he first got in that belly of the whale and sank. But what did Jonah do after he sank? He sung a song of praise. And when he sung a song of praise, he navigated in the water. Come on, alive. Hear me? He didn't sink. Where did Jonah go? Exactly where God wanted him to go, even though at first he didn't want to go there. So I'm telling you, I may be telling somebody right now by the Holy Spirit, I feel this anointing on her right now. There are some people that have yet to go where God wanted them to go. There's some places of Nineveh's where some of you have been like a Jonah. You haven't been going where God's telling you to go. God says it's time to navigate and get to Nineveh. It's time to get into the will of God for your life and stop sinking. Stop sinking and sing. Sing the song of salvation, and God will navigate you to the perfect place of his will. Do you realize that when Jonah preached in Nineveh, the whole city got saved? I want to see that happen in our day. I want to see that happen in my time, where someone will go to a town and they will go to that town and the entire town will have the fear of the Lord on their lives and accept Christ. One more thing. And this is where I think a lot of us are. They were on the boat, right? Peter was in a boat with a bunch of disciples. Jesus said, "Go on ahead." And they went ahead in the boat and a storm came. Now, how many of you feel like somehow we're in a bit of a storm right now? An unexpected storm. Come on. Who would have called this one out, right? Who would have said, "Oh, yeah, we're going to have, 3 months from now, we'll all be told to stay at home." So here they are. They're encountering a storm. And Jesus is walking to them on the water. Jesus is coming to them as a floating axe head. And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, call me to come." And Peter gets out and he's going to try to navigate in the storm. Hear me now. Peter is giving it his best shot and he's trying. And this is where I feel like a lot of you are here today like this. You're trying like Peter and you stepped out of the boat. And you're not really sure that I made the right step. Come on. Be honest now. Did I really step out of the boat? Did I really do the right thing there? He did it, and he began to question. He began to focus on the storm instead of the Savior. It says when he saw the waves, he began to sink like that axe head. But the moment he heard Jesus and he said, "Jesus, save me, help me, Lord," Jesus reached out his hand and picked him up and he stopped sinking and he began to navigate in the new place that God had for him. There is a new place that God has brought his church to today, and it's the storm. It's the unexpected storm. And I want to encourage everyone today to get your eyes off the waves and get your eyes on the Savior, and that Jesus will take his hand to you, and just like they picked up the axe head out of the water, Jesus is going to pick you up out of the water because you're going to be floating, and you never thought, how in the world am I doing this? That's okay. You're with Jesus. That's all that matters. So, Father, we make a declaration over you right now. You are not sinking, says the Lord. You are navigating in the water. And God has given you a sharp axe that is to be wielded by the Holy Spirit. And he has given you fruit in your life that is going to bring a harvest. So the Lord says, fear not when you're unexpectedly encountering the winds and the waves, because the Lord is going to pick you up just like he picked up Jonah when he sang a song to the Savior, just like he picked up Peter when he cried out to the Lord to save him. As you get your eyes on the Savior, the Lord will pick you up and you'll be with Jesus and you'll find that you're navigating in the storm. God bless you. God give you encouragement this day, and may you continue to walk on the water. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. We'll see you later.